All right. Well, this evening, I'm just going to be sharing along the topics of, I uploaded a whole lot of things to the website, I started a segment or a group of teachings called What About? And I started teaching before we went to the USA. We taught on questions or about the characteristics of God, understanding that he's not a genocidal maniac. And then we talked about questions regarding the law, if you remember that teaching about can we eat pork and the Sabbath and circumcision, all those things. I taught on something that was while in the USA that I uploaded to the site is in the kind of a What About series. And I'm not teaching on that tonight, but it was about suffering, understanding what it means that Jesus was perfected through what he suffered. Talk about Hebrews chapter 2, and where the Bible says that God made the captain of our salvation perfect through sufferings, and the teaching goes along the lines of that Jesus was perfected through sufferings, and then how much more do we need sufferings? Does God send sufferings our way for us to be perfected? I don't know if you ever heard those types of things. And so I explained that. I think I taught that here, but we didn't record it. And so I taught that in a church, and so that's on the site. So in keeping with that, what about series to get some understanding on some things, not just for ourselves, but also for others that we talk to. I was watching something the other day, actually a couple of weeks ago, and there was a Muslim guy on there, and he was stating that the reason why they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God is because Jesus never claimed to be the Son of God. And so I thought that was very, very interesting. And I've heard a lot of those teachings before, I mean, mindsets. And so I started to go through the Bible because I knew he said a lot of things. And so today we're going to talk about what about Jesus, and it's different than what we did before. And simply so that we get some understanding, I know that nobody here has this problem. However, I always believe that going to the Word and just being reestablished in some things can help us, and also to help us when people may say some things. I remember when I was in Trinidad, when we lived there, when we were pastoring there, we were going door to door once, and we came upon this one home, and there was this young man sitting there outside the front of his home, and we started talking to him about Jesus, and he very forcefully told us that he at one point had been a Christian, but now he's a Muslim, and he does not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. God cannot have a son, and all those types of things, and he stated that one of the reasons why he is no longer a Christian is because Christians believe, now this is very interesting, he said that Christians believe that Jesus was hung on a tree. And there's not one scripture in the Bible that says that Jesus was hung on a tree. And I just could not believe what I was hearing. He has turned his back on Christ because of that. And so I said, you know what? You are absolutely right. There is not one scripture that says Jesus was hung on a tree. There's many scriptures. He said, would you like me to show you one? And he's looked at me funny, and I showed him. We're not going to turn to these scriptures, but there's five times in the New Testament that says Jesus was hung on a tree. The first one is found in Acts chapter 5, verse 30, and then there's Acts chapter 10, verse 39, and there's Acts chapter 13, verse 29, then there's Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, then there's 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. And Peter was the one who really said quite a bit that Jesus hung on a tree. If you go to 1 Peter 2:24, it says, we can turn there. This is not what I'm talking about tonight, but I just thought it was interesting how some people get turned aside by something, and it's clearly in the Word, and they don't know what they're talking about, and yet they have turned away from God because there's something they say isn't true, but it is. It's in there. But in 1 Peter 2:24 says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. So there it says, there's one verse. I think I showed him that verse. So when I showed him that verse, I actually had a Bible with me, and I showed him that verse, and he read it. He was like dumbfounded because he had been taught at the mosque that Christians believe a whole bunch of nonsense, and this is not even in the Bible, and we don't believe what's even in the Bible, and they believe he was hung on a tree, and he wasn't even hung on a tree, and the Bible does say that. Then he said, well, Jesus never claimed to be the Son of God. So I showed him a verse on that one. And so, anyway, by this guy making these comments, it brought these things to my remembrance about what happened there. Now, I'm not teaching this from the concept and from the angle trying to prove others wrong. I don't care about that. But I want to show you from Scripture, because it's really, really is neat, all of what the Bible teaches that shows that the Bible claims that Jesus is God and he's the Son of God. And so we're going to dividing this up into three sections. One, we're going to go to where the Bible actually says that Jesus is God or the Son of God. Then we're going to go to the different people or entities who claim that Jesus was the Son of God. The reason I say entities is because Satan did, demons did, and angels did, along with people. Then we're going to look at that Jesus himself claimed that he was God and the Son of God. Okay? So let's go ahead and start off. We're going to look at what the Bible teaches concerning this. And the reason why this is so important, if you go into 1 John, you will see, and we're not going to go there this evening, but in 1 John, you can read 1 John, and it says, the spirit of Antichrist is he who denies that God came in the flesh, or he who denies that Jesus came in the flesh. Now, that is not talking about that a man named Jesus existed. Jehovah's Witnesses say that, Muslims say that, and different people say that. But denying that Jesus was God who came in the flesh is what they deny. And so the reason why this is so important is because, we'll turn to this one scripture to preface it. But the reason why this is so important and why the devil attacks that Jesus is God and that he's the Son of God is because you have to believe in that to be saved. Now, think about that. It's not enough to believe that Jesus, the man, existed. You have to believe in who he said he is. And so in John chapter 8, we're just going to go to this one scripture, and then we're going to go on. But John chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus is speaking there. And the reason I know he's speaking there is because it's written in red. I don't know if you noticed this, but whenever Jesus spoke, it was always in red. I don't know how that worked, but... But in John chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus says, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Do you see that? He claimed to be God right there. I am. Now, we are going to look at this later on, but this whole portion of scripture in John chapter 8 is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, speaking to the Jews, and he, in at least two different occasions, he said, I am. And they took it as Jesus making himself God, and they took up stones to stone him, because they took it as blasphemy. Okay? So, I want you to notice that. The reason why the devil attacks, notice, it's the devil. It's not these people attacking. It's the devil motivating them to attack who Jesus is, that he's more than just a man, that Jesus is, the Bible does teach that Jesus is God, and when Jesus came, he was God who came for us in the flesh, and he was the Son of God. In other words, he came forth from God. That's very important, because if you don't believe that, you can't be saved. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what Jesus taught. So in Isaiah, let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 7. We're in the section of what does the Bible say about Jesus, whether he's God or the Son of God. So we're going to look at what the Bible teaches. We're going to look at some Old Testament portions of Scripture, and then we're going to look inside, we're going to look into the New Testament. So in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, Emmanuel literally means God with us. Okay? Now, we don't have time to talk about the importance of the virgin birth. We did that before in the Is Your Truth Rightly Divided series. You can go back and listen to that if you want to see that. But let's turn over to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to see the New Testament parallel of that promise. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. And actually, if we start in verse 21, Joseph has a dream. And in the dream, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. And in verse 21, he says, talking about Mary, in verse 20, it says that that which is conceived in Mary is conceived of the Holy Spirit. Now, that was not some physical union, okay? That was the Holy Spirit. It was the power of the Word of God entered into Mary's womb and germinated with her seed, okay, and germinated and created Jesus, the flesh of Jesus. And so, verse 21 says, and it says, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, verse 23, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Now, no one else in the Bible is called God with us, except Jesus. Okay? Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. This will actually be the last scripture. We can go to more, but just for sake of time, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. This is talking about Jesus. And verse 6 of Isaiah 9 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called," notice, "the son." Okay? "His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God." Notice the son's name, part of his name is going to be Mighty God. "Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Okay? Now that's talking about when he establishes his physical throne in Jerusalem in the second coming. Amen? Now let's go over to Acts chapter 2, and this is going to be referencing Isaiah chapter 9. So I don't know if you've noticed already, the Bible declares Jesus is going to be God, and he's going to be the Son. But Acts chapter 2, let's look at verses 30 through 32. And Peter's speaking here, and he says, "Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne." It's talking about David, what we just read. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. So here we see that in Isaiah chapter 9, it said that he's going to be Mighty God. And then it talks about his throne. And here we come in the New Testament, and Peter's declaring that Jesus is that one that was prophesied back in Isaiah. If you notice this, it's talking about from the seed of David. You can read that and see the cross reference there. Amen. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, and let's look at verses 3 through 4. Right now, we're just looking at what the Bible says. Amen. Different passages of scripture. Romans chapter 1, we're looking at verses 3 through 4. And in verse 1, it says, "Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God." Notice that. Verse 3 says, "concerning his son, Jesus Christ." Whose son? God's son. So here the Bible declares Jesus is the Son of God. Okay? So then, "concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God," again, "with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead." Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, the first two verses. It says, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son." Notice that. So here it says that God has a Son there. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Notice that here it calls Jesus God and Savior. Remember, one of God, Jesus' titles was Mighty God. Amen? Let's go to 1 John. We're just blowing through these real quick. But 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. It says, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." So here we see that the Bible here declares that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. In other words, what it's talking about here, it calls us sons of God as well when we believe in Christ. But Jesus is the only begotten Son. Really, when you really look at it, Jesus made some claims that he's going back to the Father where he was before. In other words, when it talks about Jesus being the only begotten Son, he's the only one sent forth from the Son, from the Father. He's the manifestation or the incarnation of God. And it says in, I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, says, "Great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh." Amen. I believe that is, let me see real quick, 1 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifested in the flesh." Amen? So now we're going to look at some specific places of people who claimed that Jesus was the Son of God. Amen? Luke chapter 1. We're going through a lot of scriptures, which we usually do anyway. But Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 33. And this is the angel Gabriel here. Verse 26 tells us this. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. Of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary." So it's the angel Gabriel speaking here. Verse 30 says, "Then the angel, Gabriel, said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest." Notice that. There it's called the Son of God. "And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David." Jump down to verse 35. "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" Here's the angel of God, Gabriel, declaring that Jesus is the Son of God. Okay? Now let's go to, this is something that's going to be interesting, but let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to see Satan here. And in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, "Now when the tempter came to him," talking about Jesus, "he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.'" Now some may take that and say, well, see, Satan was asking him. He wasn't asking him. He was trying to get him to prove that he was God. Satan doesn't mess around. I have never yet. Now, I'm not going to take this that this could not happen with some people who go too far. But Satan doesn't go around to people trying to get them to prove they're the Son of God. In other words, God in the flesh. Some people may kind of get loopy after a while and think that stuff. But Satan came to Jesus and tried to get Jesus to prove that he was the Son of God. Satan wasn't after trying to get Jesus to prove he was the Son of God. He was trying to get Jesus to doubt he was the Son of God. I don't know if that's kind of clear, but if you really read through that, amen? Now, I don't really have time to spend on that, because I could clarify that. I could see how maybe that could be raise some questions. But let's go, let's continue, because I don't want to spend much time there, because we have a lot to cover. But let's go to Matthew chapter 8, and let's go to verse 29. We're going to see how demons declared that Jesus was the Son of God. Matthew chapter 8, let's start in verse 28. And it says, "When he had come to the other side, to the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, 'What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come to torment us before the time?'" I don't know if you noticed this, but they got scared when they saw who this was. They knew this was God. They knew this was the Son of God. Satan knew it too. Now, Satan is the king of demons. Okay? And so, these demons recognized and declared who Jesus was. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14. Now, I'm not saying that we listen and believe demons, but certainly, there was something about Jesus that caused them to get very nervous and thought that he was coming to destroy them and to cast them into the pit. Now, what are we talking about? If you go to Revelation chapter 20, you see that Jesus casts at that point Satan and the false prophet and the beast and all of his kingdom into the pit. And there they are to be tormented day and night forever. So they know what the end result's going to be. They know what their destiny is. So they're like, wait a minute, you come to send us there now? See, they knew who he was. They knew that he was God. They knew what kind of authority he had. Let's go to Matthew 14:33, and we're going to see the disciples declared that Jesus was the Son of God. Matthew 14:33. We don't have time to go through the whole story, but starting in verse 22, these disciples are in the boat and a storm comes up and waves are filling the boat. They're scared. And Jesus comes walking on the water. And verse 27, he says, "Be of good cheer. Do not be afraid. It's me." And so Peter says, "If it's you, then have me come to you on the water." He says, "Come." So within that context, in verse 32, it says, "And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" Now, why would Jesus allow them to worship him and call him by a title of the Son of God, implying something, if he wasn't that? For Jesus to receive worship, you go through the Gospels, he received worship from people. For him to receive worship reveals that he acknowledged that the worship was true. So by Jesus receiving worship, it was Jesus declaring that he was worthy of receiving worship. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. But if someone were to come to me and say, "Oh, Sean, you're God." I say, "No, I'm not God." You better calm down there. If you remember Paul and Silas or Paul and Barnabas, remember when they healed that one person was healed and they went to sacrifice to them thinking that the gods had come down? They said, "Oh, no," they tore their clothes. "Don't do this. We're not God." Amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 27 and verse 54. Matthew 27, 54. And this is when Jesus died, there was an earthquake. And in verse 54, it says, "So when the centurions and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" All right. Let's go to Luke 4, 41. Start in verse 30. Luke 4 and verse 40. Sorry, verse 40. Luke chapter 4, verse 40. It says, "When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, 'You are the Christ, the Son of God.' And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ." Now, what is this trying to tell us? Jesus does not want just anybody representing him. He didn't need them telling people who he was. He'd take care of that himself. He commissioned his disciples to tell people who he was, not the devil. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. But God only, and I'll show you this in a minute, but God does not try to prove to anyone who he is. He likes people to see who he is and believe it. Amen? We'll see that in a minute. John chapter 1, verse 34. This is John the Baptist. He declared Jesus is the Son of God. John chapter 1, verse 34. And this is John, he said, "The Spirit bore witness with me that who I see, the Spirit of God, descending from heaven like a dove and remaining upon him, he's the one." Verse 34 says, "And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." So John the Baptist recognized who he was. Let's go to John 1:49. This is Nathanael, because Jesus tells him something that only Nathanael, he was all by himself and there was no one else around. And Jesus said, "Before I called you, I saw you underneath the fig tree." And this is how Nathanael answers. Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Now, we could keep going, but I think we need to move on, because I don't want to keep going too long. There's also, you can see in John chapter 11, verse 29, we're not going to turn there, but John 11, 29, Martha declares that Jesus is the Son of God. Okay? You can see that. In John chapter 20 and verse 31, John declares that Jesus is the Son of God. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, the Ethiopian eunuch declares, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I want to be baptized." Paul in Acts chapter 9 and verse 20, let's turn there real quick, but Acts chapter 9 and verse 20. I know you remember he had his Damascus experience, and after he was received a sight and was filled with the Holy Spirit, in verse 20, Acts chapter 9 verse 20, says that immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Okay? Now we're getting into the most important part. That's all great. That's all great and fine. But now we're going to see what Jesus himself said. Because some people say, Jesus never declared that he was God. He never declared to be the Son of God. Well, you have to be absolutely dishonest to hold to that interpretation if you actually have read the scriptures. You have to be totally dishonest about something. So we're going to go through some verses and we're going to see this. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. And I do suggest, those of you, if in the future you ever get confronted by somebody who just has some questions like this, you can say, you know what? I have some notes. I can show you all the different verses. Let me send them to you. You may not remember all these verses off your head. I won't remember all these verses off my head, but pick one or two that you can go and show. But hey, if they're really hungry, say, you know what? Jesus did say he's the Son of God. The Bible does say that he's God and he's the Son of God. Would you like to see where the Bible says that? If they say yes, say, okay, I'll send them on your email. That's perfect. Amen. So I'm not only going through this because I was reading through this. I was like, wow, the Bible has so much to say about this. Sometimes we don't even focus. How many of you never even focus that the Bible says so much, declaring he's God and the Son of God? But when we go into it, we start to see these things. Matthew chapter 26. Jesus is facing the Sanhedrin here. He's on trial. And let's look at verse 62. And the high priest arose and said to him, do you answer nothing? What is it? These men testify against you. So in other words, they were bringing all these charges against Jesus, and he wasn't saying anything. And in verse 63, Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. You notice the question here. How does Jesus respond? Verse 64, Jesus said to him, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty, it sounds to be a pretty big declaration that he was God and he's the Son of God. I don't know if you noticed that. But let's see how they respond, just in case you missed that. You know, sometimes there might be a cultural difference. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I may say something and you may interpret it a different way. Now, that doesn't happen very often here because we have a similar enough culture. But I've discovered that when you go to different cultures, sometimes you can say something and they can interpret it in a different fashion. However, Jesus was of that culture. The people who were questioning him were of that culture. And let's see how they responded and how they interpreted Jesus saying, it is as you say. Because remember, he said, I charge you before the living God. Tell us, are you the Christ? Are you the Son of God? He said, it is as you say. And not only this, you're going to see me come back with power on the clouds of heaven. Now, that was pretty big declaration. You can't declare that unless you're one insane or you are God. Think about that. If I were to declare, you will see me coming on the clouds of power, all of you would start getting nervous, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Be honest. Like, whoa, Sean, we like you, but you're not God, man. You've gone, man, we need to pray for Sean. I think he's gone loopy or something. You know, you think something's wrong with him. That's how you would interpret it, would it not? But just in case we don't understand their culture, let's see how those who were of the culture, the same culture, interpreted what Jesus meant. Verse 65 says, then the high priest tore his clothes. And almost always when you see in this culture, whenever they heard something blasphemous, they tore their clothes. That's why Paul and Barnabas, I think it's in Acts chapter 14, when the paralyzed guy was healed, they tore their clothes when they started to sacrifice them as gods. Because that was actually blasphemy. So they tore their clothes saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have witnesses? What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. So you see how they interpreted his statements. He's declaring to be God. What further need do we have need to hear him or any other witnesses? Let's go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. And he's on the cross at this point. Let's look at verse 38. Matthew 27:38 says, then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him. Now notice you can't blaspheme a man. So he was obviously, it's declaring he's God there, the Bible. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself if you are the Son of God. Come down from the cross. You know who was speaking through them right there? Satan. If you're God, turn these stones into bread. If you're God, come off that cross. Prove it. Prove it. Prove it. Prove it. Verse 41. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the king of Israel, let him come, Let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. In other words, prove it. Verse 43, he trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Notice, the people who mocked him claimed that Jesus himself claimed he was the Son of God. Do you see this? The people who rejected Jesus said, he said, Jesus, this man on the cross, he himself declared to be the Son of God. Do you see that? So for people to sit there and say that Jesus never declared to be the Son of God, we're going to go to more verses. They have to be intellectually dishonest. Jesus said, hey, it is exactly as you say. Not only that, you're going to see me come in power. There's nothing you can do to stop it. He said, he claimed to be the Son of God. Prove it. Luke chapter 22, verse 66. Luke 22:66. As soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him into their council, saying, if you are the Christ, tell us. But he said to them, if I tell you, you will by no means believe. Why would he? I don't know about you, but that seems like a really dumb statement if Jesus didn't believe he was the Son of God or the Christ. He would have said, if I tell you I'm not, you won't believe that because you're convinced I am. Now think about that. No. He says, if I tell you I am, you're not going to believe me, so why are you asking me these questions? You understand the logic here? Verse 68, and if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then they all said, are you then the Son of God? So he said to them, you rightly say that I am. Now, in my Bible, the rightly there is added. So your Bible might say, well, you say I am. Okay. So some have gone into that and say, see, Jesus never claimed to be that. He said, well, you keep saying I am. Now, look at the next verse. This proves that Jesus wasn't just giving a defense. Like if I get arrested for murdering someone I didn't murder, and they keep telling me, you killed her, admit it. You killed her, admit it. Did you kill her? I may say, well, you guys keep saying I did. See, that's not admitting that, is it? And that would not hold up in a court of law. Look right here. He said he didn't admit that he did that. He's saying, you guys keep saying so. But look how they respond in verse 71 again. And they said, what further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth. So in other words, how Jesus said it, the way he said it, we're not Greek scholars. Of course, Jesus was speaking in Aramaic, but however he said it. Now remember, this is a translation, right? However he said it in their culture, they understood that he was admitting to be the Son of God. Or else they would not have responded that way. Let's go over to another translation. Let's go to the Amplified Bible. And let's look at this reference in Luke chapter 22 and verse 70 again. Remember all the people who were questioning him. It starts in verse 70. And they all said, you are the Son of God then? And he said to them, it is just as you say, I am. Notice that. Now who's the one who said I am? Back in Exodus chapter 3, God. But in different translations, it says, you have rightly said, like in this one, you have claimed, and it is so, is more of the accurate translation there. But to me, the way they responded proves how he said it and how they interpreted it. Okay, let's go to John chapter 8. We're going to see some more examples. Obviously, I went through Matthew, then Luke. Now we're in John. John chapter 8, we're going to see how Jesus claimed to be I am. I don't know if you remember, but back in Exodus, when God was speaking to Moses in the burning bush, Exodus chapter 3, God says, I want you to go and lead my people out of Egypt. And Moses says, well, if they ask me who sent me, who should I tell them sent me? And God says, tell them I am. I am that I am. Tell them I am sent you. Right? So with that said, let's go to John chapter 8, verse 56. And we could really read this whole thing, but it'd be a good idea for you to read John chapter 8 later on, especially starting at verse 13, and just read it with the context of Jesus is declaring himself to be I am. He's declaring himself to be God. He's declaring himself to be the Son of God, and how the Pharisees and the Jews responded, those who didn't agree with him. Verse 56, Jesus says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And look at verse 57, how they respond to that. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Notice what Jesus says in verse 58. This is one of the strongest declarations of Jesus declaring to be God in the New Testament, out of his own mouth. Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Look how they respond in verse 59. Then they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed them by. Now, the only reason they took up stones to stone him, because they took it as blasphemy. Okay? We're going to see this in this another verse. But I don't know if you see that, but Jesus declared clearly, before Abraham was, I am. I mean, I can't declare that. Can anyone here declare that? I can't declare before my own father was, I am. I couldn't be here if my father wasn't here first. Everyone understands that. So Jesus is declaring his eternal attributes right here. He's declaring who he is. John chapter 9, let's look at verse 35. John chapter 9, verse 35. And this is about the blind man receiving his sight, and they kick him out of the synagogue because he declared Jesus to be the Christ. Okay? So in John chapter 9, verse 35, it says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? So here Jesus again is declaring himself to be the Son of God by that question. Now let's keep reading. He says it again. And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. So Jesus here says, do you believe in the Son of God? He says, who is he that I can believe in him? He says, I am the one. It's me, and I'm talking to you. You see that? He's declaring to be the Son of God there. Amen? That's clear. Let's go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 24. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Now remember, there's a reason why Jesus didn't just go around saying, hey guys, I'm God. Hi guys, I'm God. Hi guys, I'm the Christ. Because he didn't want people to, if Jesus were going to do that, he would have come in radiant glory and just make people believe in him. Remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John saw his radiant glory when he was transfigured. He had that all along, but it was veiled with his flesh. And so the reason why is because God, he wants people to choose to believe in him because they love him, not because he's forced them. And, you know, God could make the whole world believe in him tomorrow. He could just come on a chariot, zip around, I am Jesus, all of you have been wrong. You know what, even the Muslims would say, oh, sorry, wouldn't they? If they saw that, whoa, we were wrong, right? That's not how he is. He's meek and lowly of heart. He wants people to believe in him. Amen? Not be forced. He's not a dictator like that. In verse 24, he said, tell us plainly if you're the Christ. Verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. Now notice, he already told them in John chapter 8, you don't believe. Later on, we saw that. He said, even if I were to tell you, you wouldn't believe. So in other words, this shows us, it doesn't matter what God does or what God says, some people still will not believe. It's really true. I've seen people get healed of miraculous things, and they still don't have any desire for God. I know a guy, he had 3 visitations from Jesus, and he's still not walking with the Lord. I'm thinking, man, I haven't even had one. You know what I've discovered? It's probably because I don't need it. Think about that. But this guy had 3 visitations from Jesus, where Jesus is telling him the call he has in his life and what he wants you to do. And the guy still ran off, mashed up his family. He just couldn't control himself in that physical nature. I'm just saying, gosh. See, those types of things still, we think, oh no, people would believe it. No, not necessarily. People think, this must be some CGI tricks here. You know, like David Copperfield, like magicians. Woohoo! Is there some kind of thing going on here? Maybe they perfected hologram. Yeah, that's a hologram, right? People still won't believe. Amen? So Jesus said, I told you and you do not believe the works that I... Verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Isn't that true? His sheep hear his voice. And people who could care less, it doesn't matter what God does. They still don't believe. You could raise some. I mean, I told you, I was giving someone a testimony who didn't believe in God about, I've seen people healed of cancer, and tell them all these things. They point blank told me, you're a liar. So, man, I could show you that you're lying. Then you tell someone else. You just talk to them about the goodness of God, and they receive. Amen. So let's keep reading. Verse 28 says, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Now notice this. I and my Father are one. Now to us, in our culture, if I said, me and God are one, people in our culture, we wouldn't really, I don't know if you understand, it wouldn't be that kind of a, it may sound strange, but we wouldn't necessarily think that person's declaring to be God. But in their culture, notice how they interpreted it. Remember, we are on the outside, so we can't say what that means on the outside of the culture. But Jesus was of the culture, and the people who heard him say what he said were of the same culture. And look how they interpreted it. Verse 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. What is this again referring to? Remember John chapter 8 when he said, I am, and they took up stones? Verse 32 says, Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? Notice how they reply. Verse 33, the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. You see that? So we can say, well, that isn't Jesus claiming to be God. He's just claiming that he's in unity with God. He agrees with what God says. That's not how they took it. You see how that? I can say, me and the Father are one. So what do you mean by that? I agree with what God says, you see? In our culture, that would apply. But not the way Jesus said it. Not with the Aramaic words he used. And not with how they heard it. They heard, whoa, you keep making yourself God, man. You said, I am back there. And it wasn't, you know, back the other day, which was in Acts chapter, recorded in Acts chapter 8. And you're saying you and your God are one. You are a man. They saw him in the flesh. You being a man, you are making yourself God. So obviously Jesus claimed to be God there. Do you see that? To me, that's clear as day. In verse 34, Jesus answered and says, is it not written in your law, I said to you, you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word came and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world? Notice God sent him to the world. You are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God. See Jesus there again, claimed to be the Son of God. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore, they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand. I don't know about you, but that's, to me, it's clear. John chapter 11. Let's look at verse 4. John chapter 11, verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Talking about when Lazarus was sick, and actually we told him this before, but he was actually dead by that point. But Jesus said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So here Jesus claims to be the Son of God. Let's go to verse 11. And so he claims to be the Son of God with the power to raise Lazarus from the dead. Verse 11 shows us this. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. And if you read in context, he was talking about raising him from the dead. Let's go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 5. Actually, let's go to John chapter 16. John 16, 25. Jesus speaking to his disciples here. He says, these things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, but the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. And notice verse 28. I came forth from God and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. I don't know if you noticed that there, but he says he came from God and he's going back to God. None of us can claim that. We can claim I'm going to God, but we can't say we came from God. Think about that. Keep your finger there, but go to John 3. This is another interesting verse. John 3, verse 13. No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven. That is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. Now that's a... wow. That is... I don't know if you caught that, but Jesus claimed to be God there. No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven. You know, Jesus said a lot of things like that. Let me find one more here. Okay, John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 61. All in this John chapter 6, Jesus was claiming, I am the bread of life, which came down from heaven. I am the manna. I am the life. I am, and all these things. Again, he kept saying, I am, and all those things. But look at verse 61, John 6, 61. It says, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, talking about all that he said, eat my flesh, drink my blood. Huh? Cannibalism? What's he talking about here? So in 61, it says, when he knew they complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? Look at verse 62. What then, if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? You see that? Now, with that context, let's go to John chapter 17. John 17, and let's look at verse 5. John 17, 5. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself. Now, the Jews had taken it, I and my Father are one, as being he's declaring himself to be God. So here again, he's declaring himself to be God. Glorify me together with yourself. Look what he keeps saying. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I don't know if you're catching that, but he said he was with the Father before the world began. That's God. No wonder the Jews believed. They didn't believe Jesus was God because they didn't believe him. But no wonder they believed that he claimed to be God. He did. You have to be intellectually dishonest to say Jesus didn't claim to be God. You really do. It's in there. It's all through here. Now, let's just go to John chapter 10, and we're going to finish here. We could say some other things, but I think we've established it enough. But John chapter 10, I'm going to show you why God doesn't just reveal himself to everyone and force them to believe. You know, after Jesus rose again on the third day, think about it. Why didn't he appear to Caiaphas and Pilate? If you remember, Caiaphas said, tell us plainly. Tell us plainly. Are you the Christ? Are you the Son of God? And Jesus said, it is as you say. And not only this, but you're going to see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Father and coming on the clouds of power, clouds of glory. So why didn't Jesus just come and appear to Caiaphas and all that? See, I told you so, after he rose from the dead. You know, Jesus didn't do that. Let me ask you a question. Would you have done that if you were Jesus? I might have. That's not the way Jesus is. It's not the way God is. He doesn't appear and prove himself to people who don't believe. And I'm going to show you this from Acts chapter 10. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. It is Acts chapter 10. Sorry, guys. Acts chapter 10. And we're not going to turn there, but you can write this down as a reference. John 4:44, Jesus said, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. In other words, you want me to make you believe by me working miracles and all these things. And he did that, and they still didn't believe him. And in Acts chapter 10, starting verse 36, it says, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. I want you to notice, peace is only through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Well, there's that one. Jesus was killed by hanging on a tree there. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people. See, notice, God showed him openly, but not to everyone. Not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. So I don't know if you notice this, but God, Jesus did not appear and prove to anyone that he was the Son of God and who he claimed to be. He only appeared to those who already believed in him. Now think about that. A lot of people are wanting, if God's real, I want him to prove it to me. You're not going to see it happen. I want God to stop me if I'm going the wrong path. I don't think he exists. Okay, God, if you're real, come down. Hey, he didn't come down. See, I told you it wasn't real. I don't know if you've ever experienced people like that. I have. It's not the way God does things. But people who, God, I want to know you. Oh, Lord, I want to know who you are. Reveal yourself. He reveals himself to those people because their heart is for him, not prove I'm wrong. Come on. How we dare you to tell us we're wrong and you're right. Come on. Come on. Okay? Amen? So I don't know about you, but this was kind of exciting to see in the Bible, every place where the Bible declares that Jesus is God and declares that he's the Son of God, and Jesus himself declared to be the Son of God, Jesus himself declared to be the Christ, Jesus himself declared to be God. Amen? And so we can rest assured that the Bible does teach that Jesus is the Son of God. No wonder the devil is attacking Jesus God and Jesus the Son of God, because unless you believe that I am, you'll die in your sins. See, everyone acknowledges, almost everyone acknowledges Jesus existed. Even atheists. They'll say, okay, we recognize in the annals of history, they even have some writings in the Roman documents from the government of Rome of some man that Jesus existed, but he's not God. He's not who he claimed. He's not who you guys claim he is. See, it's not about whether Jesus existed, it's whether who Jesus is. And another verse we didn't go to was when Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And Peter says in Matthew chapter 16, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In other words, you are I am. And what did Jesus say? Blessed are you, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. Amen. So praise God for the word, that we can have confidence that not only do we have our personal relationship with God, you know, I don't need this to believe Jesus is God. I know, I've experienced it. But it's good to know what the Bible says to have even more assurance. And when people come and they say some things, you know, I've seen people get kind of flustered a little bit. Maybe it doesn't. And no, man, it does. And, you know, you can sit there like that one Muslim guy was telling when we started off in Trinidad. I didn't yell at him. I said, oh, no, it does. Actually, the Bible does say that Jesus hung on a tree, and I showed him. And Jesus never said he's God, and I showed him. You know what? I don't know. We went on to the next house, but you know what? At least there was something for God to work with, because he believed something that he was taught, that the Bible doesn't teach this, but yet it does teach it. So at least then now they got that out of the way. Now, the Bible does say it, but, well, now they're on, do I believe that? Not the Bible doesn't say it. I don't know if you understand the difference there. But if the Bible doesn't say something, I don't need to worry about it. But if the Bible does say something, there's an authority there, whether we recognize it or not. But then we have to deal with, okay, it does say that. Do I believe that? Amen? Well, praise God.